Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. We have a special guest. This is B, and the B's are always associated with guests, and we've had a string of just outstanding ones lately. And I guess we're in our 21st year of doing this. So, Neil Barnard, thank you very much for coming. You've been a guest before, an outstanding guest, as well as an outstanding scientist. Probably for most of these 20 years, you've done work to change the health of America. So all of us should thank you. The book we're going to talk about is The Power Foods Diet, the breakthrough plan that traps, tames, and burns calories for easy and permanent weight loss. But before I do that, as I said, this is 1193B. The A segments are always the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. And you'll want to go to the A segment for two things this week, especially. One is the data on the mesenchymal stem cell study for heart failure patients out of Texas Heart, a really remarkable study this week that showed the benefit of that therapy. And the second one is the story on plastics being embedded into plaque and what you can do to get rid of that. We also have the sponsors to thank. That is longevityplaybook.com and lifesfirstnaturals.com. But let's get to Neil Barnard, who is an internist, a fellow of the American College of Cardiology, a adjunct professor of medicine at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., founder and president of the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, and he is more than 100 scientific publications, 20 books for the medical and lay readers, and he is the editor-in-chief of Nutrition Guide for Clinicians. This book makes, I think, three major points: that there are foods that decrease your appetite, that do calorie trapping, and that increase your metabolism. And they're all in the same family. And he talks about them with a huge number of delicious looking recipes. I normally cook, as the listeners know, two or three of them. I didn't get a chance to do that. Neil, how did you happen to start in this field of nutrition? What caused you to get into it?
Well, it was actually, the year before I went to medical school, I was helping out in a hospital. I was the assistant at autopsies. And when a person would die in the hospital, my job was to assist the pathologist. And when you see what causes cardiovascular disease, what causes heart disease and so forth, it made such an impression. One day we were doing an autopsy on a person who died of a massive heart attack. And the pathologist pulled the ribs off the chest and he showed me the heart, and it was filled with atherosclerotic plaque. It was really quite upsetting. And at the end of the exam, I had to put the ribs back in the chest and sew up the skin. And when I was done, I went up to the hospital cafeteria because it was a long exam. And the only thing they had to eat was ribs. And I have to say, between the look of it and the smell of it, I thought, no, let me eat something else. So I know that, I don't know what you would call that. That wasn't exactly an educational event, but it got me associating things that people eat and some really bad events. And that was really the beginning of it.
And your journey now on foods that decrease appetite, as I read it, they're mainly foods that have a lot of fiber in them. Is that right?
That's one of the big things, and a big surprise, and we started studying this more than 20 years ago, that if a person doesn't intentionally limit their foods at all, they eat it just as much as they want. But if instead of eating zero fiber foods, like cheese or meat or eggs that people would eat every day, but they have zero fiber, if they're eating foods that have a lot of fiber in them, beans and vegetables and fruits and so forth, they feel full, they feel satisfied. But if you add up the calories they had, it might be 200 calories less or 300 calories less. And that's the effect of the fiber. It's also the effect of the complex carbohydrates. starchy foods. People are afraid of them. They think they're fattening, but they have less than half the calories of fatty foods. So that it tames your appetite in the sense that you get full about 200 or 300 calories sooner than you would otherwise.
And now some of these foods you also state are calorie trapping or food trapping as the second component of that as I read the book. And our audience knows I read the book, so I'm going to pin you later on a couple of comments to see your, well, I know you're capable of handling it because that's why I'm asking you them. And we are talking to Neil Barnard, B-A-R-N-A-R-D, who's a physician, a fellow of the American College of Cardiology. And is that correct, CC?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And the book is called The Power Foods Diet. Neil, the second thing you talk about is the high-fiber foods, some of them also trap calories. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, the research in this area has really been surprising. And I would have, if this had been 7 or 8 years ago, I wouldn't have even discussed it because I think it wasn't mature enough. That was when Harvard researchers found that people eating certain foods just tended to lose more weight, which is paradoxical. The more you eat these foods, the more weight you lose. And so things like blueberries, strawberries, blackberries, other foods came to the fore. Cinnamon came up and several other spices, cinnamon, ginger, capsaicin in hot peppers, all seemed to have this kind of effect. But this calorie trapping effect, Tufts University, one of the best nutrition research centers in the world, did a study where they brought in individuals and they gave them high fiber foods, just ordinary whole grain bread or brown rice. And they compared them to people who got white bread, white rice. In other words, the fiber has been removed. And then they did something that, Michael, I have to say, nobody is ever going to be doing in my research lab, which was they took stool samples from everybody and they analyzed them for how much unabsorbed calories they had basically in their poop. And what they found out was that fiber does something that nobody had ever talked about. Yes, it lowers cholesterol. Yes, it promotes regularity. But it also acts like a sponge going down your digestive tract, grabbing calories you haven't absorbed yet, carrying them along. Out they go with the waste. You flush the calories down the toilet. And the question is, how many? And the answer is about 100 calories per day. Not huge, but you add that to the appetite taming effect and the metabolism boosting effect, and you're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of about 500 calories per day that you're subtracting without even lacing up your sneakers, without exercising, without limiting the foods at all.
The foods that I notice you have, and by the way, and I'll say it, a ton of recipes, and I don't mean that in another way other than to say a wide variety of recipes that look delicious. Neil, the book was a victim. I normally cook 2 to 5 of the recipes in each of the books that features recipes myself to be able to talk about them, but I had to do taxes this weekend, so I didn't get to cooking at all. It was the U.S. government's requirement kept me out of doing this, but in any case, the book is beautifully illustrated as well as has the recipes in them, but you talk about really the benefits of apples, pears, and berries excessively. And I don't mean excessively other than you make the point very well that those are foods that are both high in fiber and beneficial for increasing metabolism.
Yeah, and the research on this was really quite striking. In 2015, Harvard University researchers tried to nail down which foods seemed to be associated with weight loss. And the very top of that list, the number one food group, was these humble little foods that everyone neglects, and that is blueberries and their cousins like strawberries and raspberries. And so the question is this real? So 2 years later, researchers in the UK did a really cool follow-up study. The blue in a blueberry is what's called anthocyanins, as you know. These are antioxidants. And it's sort of nature's painting box. The anthocyanins in a blueberry makes them blue. There's a reddish anthocyanin that makes a strawberry red. What they did is they brought in twins, almost 3,000 twins, and everyone had a DEXA scan, which shows you where is the body fat. Is it on your thighs? Is it in your abdomen? How much do you have? And the twin in each pair who ate the most anthocyanins, had about 9% less abdominal fat compared to her genetically identical sister. And so that fit the Harvard study. And so then the question is, why? And I honestly don't think that we entirely have nailed it down, because there is some evidence that suggests the anthocyanins can work even before you absorb them. They might alter your gut bacteria. There is other evidence that suggests that they are metabolism boosters. But what we did in the Power Foods Diet, and the reason the pictures are so gorgeous, is that Dustin Harder and Lindsay Nixon are brilliant recipe developers. Dustin took blueberries and made them into a blueberry syrup. Now, cinnamon is also a metabolism booster. And so Lindsay took cinnamon and put it on some French toast and put it all together. Cook some French toast. Don't slather it with butter. Top it with blueberry syrup, and you have a power foods breakfast that your whole family will eat. They will love it. They'll think it's absolutely out of this world. So, by the way, Michael, if you get audited by the IRS, bring my French toast to the audit, and they, I'm telling you, they are going to be absolutely thrilled.
We all worry about being audited, but I'm not, that wasn't why I did it. It was to make sure I wasn't late and trigger an extra audit a request. In any case, the cinnamon blueberry syrup recipe is on page 295 of the book. Let me give you how tough it is. 1 1/2 cups of fresh or frozen blueberries, thawed or frozen. And by the way, I love the frozen blueberries. I have no ownership in them, but at Costco, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract and 1/2 teaspoon of ground cinnamon. Add the blueberries, vanilla, and cinnamon to a blender. Start the blender on low and increase the speed. I mean, how tough is that, right? Not tough at all. So that is all from the Power Foods Diet. One of the things I get asked a lot about is legumes, because there's a former heart surgeon who is a wonderful heart surgeon, but I don't believe much of his diet advice. But he tells us to avoid legumes, especially, if you will, beans. And obviously, you in this book, and I as well, think of beans and the legumes, whether chickpeas or black beans or any of the variety of beans, you use them extensively. Is there a problem with lectins?
There is not. Now, first of all, researchers have looked observationally at populations eating lots of beans. And if you look at the populations where people live the longest, what they call the blue zones, places like Sardinia, places like Costa Rica and many others where, or Okinawa, where you have lots of centenarians, legumes are always a big part of what they are consuming, or legume products. It might be soybeans, it might be black beans, it might be pinto beans, it might be chickpeas, whatever it is. So they're associated with longevity, good health, they lower cholesterol. So there are these compounds called lectins that have theoretical issues. If there are lectins in there, why are beans so healthy and why do people who eat them do so well? It's because, frankly, the lectins get cooked out of it and it's not an issue at all. If you are eating raw beans, which I hope you don't do because they are like little rocks, you will not be able to just digest them at all and you will get lectins in there, but please cook your beans. There should be no al dente beans.
Now, there are two things I want to go over with you. One is cinnamon. We've seen a lot of stories about lead contaminating cinnamon. You talk about a specific cinnamon in the book. Tell us what that cinnamon is, where you get it, and is that subject to the lead problem?
What a great question. Well, first of all, why would you care? Cinnamon, that goes down your digestive tract because it's on your cinnamon toast or your cinnamon-flavored oatmeal, goes down your digestive tract, and there is a receptor waiting there that once this cinnamon's, there's an aldehyde in it that attaches, and then it triggers the release of a little bit of adrenaline in your bloodstream that ramps up your metabolism a little bit. In a randomized trial, researchers found that people consuming cinnamon could lose 7.5 pounds over about a 16-week period. Now, they used a pretty heroic amount. They used about a teaspoon per day, but you could do that. So the question is, which cinnamon? You go to the local grocery store and you see all these different cinnamons. They've got Saigon cinnamon. They've got Indonesian cinnamon. They've got Chinese cinnamon. They've got Ceylon cinnamon. And only one of them is actually the one I'm going to recommend, and that is Ceylon cinnamon. Ceylon as in Sri Lanka.
And we can spell Ceylon C-E-Y-L-O-N, just so people hear it clearly.
Yes, exactly, Ceylon. The others are a related compound, cassia, which frankly does have a lot of zip to it. I mean, it is pretty intense cinnamon flavor, but don't buy that. Get the Ceylon cinnamon. And your question about contaminants, I think, is a darn good question. First of all, choose the Ceylon cinnamon. Second of all, choose organic. In fact, I recommend that with all spices. Choose the organic brands. They are widely available. They're not particularly expensive. And that helps you obviate a lot of these issues.
Now, I want to pick a comment on one point, and I've got to try and find this. But at one point you say, I'm going to find the exact quote, maybe as I pass through the book, I'm not finding it right away, but it was saying you don't have to exercise. It says you will not need to exercise unless, of course, you want to. We know that exercise is key, and I know you do exercise. Exercise is key to turning on genes that maintain your muscles, that maintain your blood-brain barrier, and that increase brain-derived neurotrophic growth factor through turning on the gene that makes arisen. Why do you give people an out in the book? They should be exercising, shouldn't they?
Well, first of all, I completely agree with you. And as you said, I exercise myself. I love it. And I'm quite persuaded that there are real benefits of it. However, the question is, if a person wants to lose weight, do they have to go to the gym and sweat for an hour? In the research studies that we have done, including our NIH-funded long diabetes trial, we actually did not allow the participants to change their exercise. And we did that for a scientific reason. You want to isolate the effect of diet, which is what we're studying. And what we found is that the people who didn't change their exercise at all, but did change their diets in the way that you read about in the Power Foods diet, they lose weight, their glucose gets better, their cholesterols fall, their blood pressure gets better. And the reason this is important is in our clinical practice, we do recommend exercise. We do encourage it. It should be done safely. However, we have people for whom exercise is really not possible to any significant degree. We have people with disabilities, or in some cases, people who are so overweight that they really don't need to be doing a huge amount of exercise now. They need to just focus on diet first. I want to reassure those folks, if exercise is not something they're able to do, that they will still benefit and benefit hugely from the diets themselves. That said, when a person is able to exercise, man, lace up your sneakers and let's go running.
The data, I think, is pretty clear that just walking and resistance exercise are two of the important components of it as well. The other point that you make, I think, throughout the book and that I wanted to bring out was that leafy greens were important. Tell us why you think leafy greens are so important and how should one work those into the diet?
You know, these are the neglected foods. When I was a kid growing up in Fargo, North Dakota, the center of the meal was meat. There might have been a potato next to it. And the greens, they came out of a number 10 tin can and they were sort of off to the side somewhere. And, you know, you neglected it. It was an afterthought. Today, when I plan a meal, that is where I start with asparagus, broccoli, kale, collards, whatever they may be. Why?
Now, by the way, before you go on, you didn't mention any of the lettuces or celery or, if you will, spinach. Are those all okay? Do they count as leafy greens?
Absolutely. At 100%. In fact, the Harvard study that I mentioned earlier, where they found blueberries were the weight loss champions, who was right behind the blueberry? The cruciferous vegetable group. As you know, that's broccoli, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts. And the third group behind them was leafy greens in general, not necessarily the cruciferous vegetables. So, for example, romaine, Boston butter lettuce, all of the green vegetables. In other words, the Harvard study identified the foods that when people ate more of them, they lost more weight. How does this happen?
Well, we also should say not only lost more weight, but they improved their mental function or stayed free of dementia longer.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And you get plenty of calcium and you get surprising amounts of protein. Now, let me give a number here because people are going to be shocked. How much protein does an average person need? The government would say for an average man, maybe 56 grams a day. For a woman, say 46 if she's average size. Some people would say a little more. Some people would say a little less. But if, as an experiment, all you ate on a given day was broccoli, I'm going to have nothing but broccoli today. Not that you would do this, but as an experiment. So let's say you eat about 2,000 calories a day and it's all broccoli. How much protein are you going to get? Are you going to get 46 grams? Are you going to get 56? The answer is you're going to get close to 150 grams of protein from that. So on a per calorie basis, broccoli is loaded with protein. Not that you need that much. So bring the greens into your routines.
So I want to thank you. We're talking to Neil Barnard, the Power Foods Diet, the Breakthrough Plan, the traps, tames, and burns calories for easy and permanent weight loss. Now, Neil, you also have a course that I think is in Washington, D.C. that I saw. I'm trying to remember where I saw it advertised. But how do people find out about it? And tell us a little bit about the course.
Oh, well, first of all, thank you for asking about that. We have realized that people all over the country are looking for support, and there may not be someone near them who can help them. So we've set up a whole series of classes we call Food for Life, and there are a number of them. Some of them are in person, some of them are virtual, and you can just go to our website, which is PCRM, that's Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, PCRM.org, and then look on the Food for Life classes. We have about 300 or 400 instructors, and they are eager to see you. But I do have one request, and that's when you have information, don't keep it to yourself. Everybody lives with somebody who needs a helping hand, and especially the kids today who grow up kind of at risk for health problems. So make my brownies, make my carrot cake, make extra. Share it with them because it'll be a light taste, it'll be delightful, but it'll be healthy, and you're going to change their life.
And I should say, you can't share it with them from Neil's restaurant because he doesn't have a restaurant, but he's got a book that'll help you. And of course, the PCRM, Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine.org, and you can go there and find out about the courses, Food for Life courses. The author of the book, Neil Barnard, has been our guest, The Power Foods Diet. He has been an outstanding supporter, innovator, as well as researcher to determine what foods are great for weight loss. And in this book, they're the foods that decrease your appetite, he says, like the GLP-1 drugs, but a lot cheaper, foods that trap other food and trap calories, and foods that increase your metabolic rate. Thank you, Neil. We'll be back next week. This is 1193B. The A segment, again, is the latest medical news of the week. Tell your friends about us. Keep downloading us. Thank you for doing that. Our sponsors, LifesFirstNaturals.com, the makers of both bovine colostrum and TrueBiotics, as well as the longevityplaybook.com, where you can get a 250-word newsletter on the latest in longevity and what it means to you weekly. Thanks again, and thank you, Neil. We'll be back next week.